Gentlemen, good morning, a Shavua Tov. I am very happy to hear everyone and to see everyone smiling this morning. That is a big achievement after being up so late last night saying the first Lichos. And since the topic that we've decided together is and now what, I thought it would be very appropriate this morning, as we are fatigued and tired and cranky, to actually talk about what this all means. So we fulfilled the halacha that the Shulchan Aruch brings. Though it's a minhag, the Shulchan Aruch brings it. It's a minhag that creeps into the Shulchan Aruch. I'm talking about the beginning of Hilchos Rosh Hashanah and the Shulchan Aruch, where the Shulchan Aruch says, and I quote, "Nohagim lakum ba'ashmoret lomar slichot v'tachanunim," that people have a minhag accustomed to get up at ashmoret, meaning at night when it's not yet day, in order to say slichot and tachanunim. What's interesting about this particular minhag is that it's a minhag that is basically global within the Jewish people, and it's one of the only times that I know of, though there are a few others, that a Kabbalistic notion made it into the Shulchan Aruch. What am I referring to? What Kabbalistic notion made it in? The time of Slichos. Says the Shulchan Aruch Ashmoret. Indeed, the Mishnah Berurah says a whole beautiful razzle-dazzle explanation as to why we get up so early, says the Mishnah Berurah. Yesof ha'layla, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shat ba'olam hazeh v'hu eit ratzon. At the end of the evening, God is, so to speak, shot, swimming around this particular world. And therefore, it's an eit ratzon. It's a good time to ask for things. So if you're asking for slicha and mechila, you better do it during a time of eit ratzon. Now, obviously, there's no whole pasuk in the Torah that says that God is shat ba'olam hazeh at the last part of the night. This Kabbalistic notion is a very unique one because it actually made it into the Shulchan Aruch per se. I don't want to deal with that this morning as to how that happened, but it is fascinating to us because we fulfilled this halacha last night. We're going to continue to fulfill it all the way through Rosh Hashanah. And I'd like to speak about what I believe a Jew should feel after he fulfills this minhag. Yes, Bruce.
You said it's a minhag that makes him the minhag. So it is a minhag,
it's still a minhag.
It's just a minhag.
It's still a minhag. In other words, on the hierarchy of mitzvos, it's still a minhag. It's not a din derabanan. It's not a din d'oraisa. It's a minhag. So therefore, the nafkamina would be in a case in which you have a clash between, let's say, a mitzvah derabanan and slichos, whatever it might be. For example, if a person signed a ketubah to his wife, the ketubah is a din derabanan, and in the ketubah he writes he's going to respect his wife. And with the help of God, I am going to respect you. And his wife says to him, when he's about to get up in the morning, or when he sets the clock at night, listen, when your alarm clock rings, it bothers me. And it bothers me very much, and it ruins my day, and whatnot. In that particular case, perhaps this gentleman can choose to do one of two things. Either he'll say slichos at a different time, not to bother his wife, sort of stay up late until after Chatzos. Might be annoying for him. Or he has to forego slichos, because it's a din derabanan of respecting your wife. You might disrespect her by getting up so early. And it's a din and minhag of slichos. But a minhag it is no less, and unless there's a clash, we fulfill it. And what I'd like to deal with this morning is how come we're feeling so tired. So you saw the explanation, it's an eight ratzon at the end of the night, and therefore we say slichos from chatzos till the morning. That's the best time to say it. The worst time to say it, by the way, is from nightfall until chatzos. That's like the worst time in the world from a Kabbalistic point of view to say slichos. So those that do it, I don't envy you. However,
The room is packed.
I know.
I will say, I think this morning after you hear my explanation, perhaps the room will be less packed. I think that it's a very fascinating sociological study that we ultimately take upon ourselves endless chumras in various different areas. And yet when it comes to our routine, when we go to sleep at night and when we wake up, we're refusing to change anything, even for a minhag in the Shulchan Aruch. And that's what I'd like to deal with today. I'd like to say two things about why we're so tired and fatigued this morning. The first one is not a Kabbalistic explanation. I can't say to you that I am an expert on Kabbalah. As a matter of fact, I could say to you I'm not. But rather, I think that saying slichos when it's still dark goes to a notion that we fulfill every single day. Have you ever noticed the difference between Shacharis and Ma'ariv? Please tell me you've seen the difference. The words in the Siddur are different, so you've seen the difference, correct? Not only are the words different, but the time we say it obviously is different. Ma'ariv is when it gets dark, and Shacharis is when it's light. We have a beautiful pasuk that we say on Shabbos at least three times, and that is Lahagid Baboker Chazdecha VeEmunatcha BaLeilot, that you shall say during the day my kindness, and at night my faith. Why is it that the author of Tehillim identified day as a time of kindness and night as a time of faith? The answer, I believe, is simple.
He's saying faith or faith?
Faith. F-A-I-T-H. Day is optimism. You're getting up, it's a new day, you have a lot you can do. When you get to the night after a long day, you're already fearful. First of all, how much didn't I do today? There was so much on my plate and I didn't get to it. Number two, going past that, night is a dangerous time. It's nighttime, it's very hard to see sometimes. Someone can come behind me and kill me. Night in Judaism was always identified with fear, and therefore you have to have faith at night to get through the night. Day was always identified as a time of optimism, and therefore Meshorer of Tehillim says Chazdecha regarding day and fearfulness regarding night. Yes.
But the Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar. The
yes.
day theoretically starts at night. Ma'ariv is the first tefillah of the day, technically. No?
It depends how you look at it. You're right that the Jewish day begins at night. On the other hand, the Beis Hamikdash, the day began in the morning. So when it comes to tefillah, you have a very interesting question. What is it patterned on? Is it patterned on the normative Judaism, namely night? So Ma'ariv is the first tefillah of the day. Or is it patterned on the Beis Hamikdash? As you know, the Gemara has the machlokes. Why do we daven three times a day? One of the deos is, it's patterned not by the avos, but by what?
Korbanos.
Korbanos. In the Beis Hamikdash, the day began in the morning. It didn't begin at night. So there was an olat haboker. As we said this morning in Korbanos, whoever didn't say Korbanos, please make it up. It doesn't say first night then day, it says day then night. Because indeed in the Beis Hamikdash, the day is the beginning, meaning the morning is the beginning of the day. So it's a big question with regard to tefillah, which one is it patterned on? Is Ma'ariv the last tefillah of the day or the first tefillah of the day? Not many nafka minas, but it's a fascinating issue to think about. In any case, gentlemen, the truth is, this is very consistent throughout Judaism, that night is always considered a time of fear, of trepidation, and after we have to have absolute faith, and I would say reliance on God, versus the day, which is so optimistic and so sunny, where you have much more of a feeling that everything is going to be okay. Therefore, in Ma'ariv, you look at Ma'ariv, we add into Ma'ariv, not just, you don't say just Baruch Ato Hashem Ga'al Yisrael like we say in the morning. Blessed be you God who redeems Israel, redeemed Israel. But what do we add? Hashkiveinu, Shem Elokeinu L'Shalom, please put us to sleep in peace. Ve'amidenu Malkeinu L'Chayim Tovim L'Shalom. Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. In Chutz La'aretz, where it's even more dangerous, many have accustomed to add an additional bracha of security, of asking God for extra security at night. All that doesn't exist in the morning, because the morning is always identified with optimism. Want to say something?
The whole world.
That's right. It's a very human emotion. Alex is correct. It's not just a Judaism thing. It's a human emotion. And indeed, I said many times 2 years ago when we dealt with tefillah, that you have to bring yourself into shul. Don't leave yourself outside of shul. You don't come into shul and say hallelujah, everything's great, but really you feel awful. Shul and davening should represent the human experience. So if you feel down, that's the way you come into davening. And if you feel up, that's the way you come into davening. And if you feel both, that's what you should express in davening. Therefore, on a Rosh Hashanah, we have a tekiah and we have a teruah. A tekiah is an optimistic sound. The tekiah, as the pasuk says in Ba'ahalotcha, uva'akhil et ha'kahal titzke'u velo tariu. When you bring everyone together, all the Jewish people are together, there's unity, you're about to all go out together, it's kia, optimism. But if there's a war, says the Pasuk in Baha'alotcha, and someone's coming to attack you, what do you do? You use the chatzrotzros again, and what do you blow? Bahare otem bachatzrotzot, a teruah, a broken, sobbing sound. So Rosh Hashanah, when you come into shul, you don't say, I feel awful, I feel terrible, my kids are intermarrying, life is awful. But in shul, I'm going to say, hallelujah, God is great, God is terrific, and then I'll go back to real life. Absolutely not. Davening on Rosh Hashanah is an emotional roller coaster. It goes from happy to sad, from happy to sad, from awe to fear, from fear to happiness. That's the way davening is in general, and that's definitely the way davening is on Rosh Hashanah. So there. If during the day you have the self-motivation, the self-confidence that everything's going to be okay, and at night you don't have that, you're fearful, so all you have is reliance on God, when is the most appropriate time to say to God, God, I feel like a nothing. I tarnished my soul this year. I could have learned more, I didn't. I could have been nicer to my wife, my kids, I did not. I could have been happier about the gift of life, I was not. I have to have total reliance on you to forgive me. When is the most appropriate time? When you're full of self-confidence that I am so great? Or at a time in which you feel I have no one else to turn to but God? We say in the Slichos, as we said last night, when we opened the Slichos after Ashrei and Kaddish, if you recall, we said, Lecha Hashem Atzdakah V'lanu Boshet Apanim. God, you have the tzedakah, tzedek, justice, and we are ashamed. We come before you as nothings, as poor paupers asking for forgiveness. We're knocking on the door of God, very poor, feeling very inadequate. You can't do that during the day when you feel, no one can take me, I'm great. At night, when you feel I have nothing else, that's the only time you can have an experience of coming before God saying, I feel so ashamed of myself. I feel awful. All I could do is rely on you to do the unthinkable and to forgive me. Because logically, there's no reason why you should forgive me. As the Gemara says, as we quoted the Yerushalmi in Yoma, Nevuah, Chochma, everyone said, a guy sins, kill him. Only God said, nah, do tshuva, I'll forgive you. For that to happen, you have to have total reliance on God. And night is the time when we have that total reliance on God and not on ourselves. Bruce.
What is the difference
again, before Chatzot and after Chatzot is what the Mishnah Berurah explained here regarding the eight Ratzon, the time of Ratzon for God. That is a Kabbalistic notion that you'll have to ask a Kabbalist about. I'm just trying to take it a step further and say, once we've done it, what do we feel? And I believe that doing it at night when it's still dark is consistent with our point of view of what night is. And that's the only time you can really say, Kedalim ucherashim dafaknu
dlatecha. You wouldn't recommend saying it in the morning?
Absolutely. If you can avoid it, do not say it in the morning. The most appropriate, best time to say slichos is at night, chatzos, until nates. So if you go to a minyan now, we didn't change the clocks yet in Israel, so we're very privileged. If you go to a minyan, let's say that starts at 6, then I believe you are saying it at the best optimal time. It's before Netzachama. It's before sunrise. It's the best time to say Slichos. The second best is during the day, for the reasons I believe we just expressed. And the worst, we won't get it. We said that at the beginning of this year. But I want to add something to what I just said. It's not just night versus day. It's something else. And this goes to the very human emotion that we all feel right now. A human emotion that every one of us is feeling this morning. What are we all feeling?
Tired.
Life, in my opinion, is based on gemilut chasadim. I do for you, you do for me. That's the way life should be. If everyone would do for each other, and vice versa, we'd have a wonderful world to live in. We do not want to live in a world in which we're parasites. We take, but we don't give. And therefore, it's very interesting to me that we come before God on Rosh Hashanah, on Yom Kippur, namely on Yom Kippur, and ask for forgiveness. And what do we do for God? What extra step do we do? We're asking God, God, I sinned, I shouldn't have, I knew that, but I did anyway. I'm asking you for forgiveness. I want you to do the unthinkable, which makes no sense, and forgive me. Because in life, when I break a window, I may have not meant it, it may have been a mistake, I still pay for the window. And if I walked outside one day and I broke my leg, I didn't mean it, I didn't want to break my leg, but I still have a broken leg. When it comes to tshuva, the unthinkable happens. I don't want to do the sin. God, you have no reason to forgive me, but you do anyway. So I want God to go the extra step, to walk the extra mile for me. What do I do in return? So I take tshuva. What do I give in return? In general, in Judaism, there's always been a notion, in my opinion, we do first, God comes next. We have to make a step, and then God will help us and hold us hands to take the next step. But if we don't take the first step, God will not take the second step. Give you an example. Chanukah. Chashmonaim come into the Beis HaMikdash after the war. Why did they light the menorah? There wasn't enough oil, according to one Girsa, to even last one day. So why did they bother? If there was enough for one day, so light the one day and go on. According to one Girsa, there wasn't even enough for one day. The miracle was not just that it lasted for 8 days, but even lasted the first day, there wasn't enough oil in the can. So why did they bother? Because I believe it's very simple. Do what you can. Take a step, and God will take the next step. When it comes to tshuva, there's a pasuk. We're going to read it. Shuva ilai, va'ashuva aleichem. Return to me, and I will return to you. If you don't take the first step, if you don't go out of your way to do something extraordinary, then why do you expect God to do something extraordinary for you? Our relationship with God is a very unique one, in that it's very hard to define. Some define it as a father-son relationship, some define it as a king-subject relationship, and some define it as a master-slave relationship. Now, any of those relationships, and I don't care which one you go by, the Avinu, or the Malkeinu, or Kianu Abadecha Va'ata Adonenu, whatever you want, it's based on Gmilut Chasadim. I give, God gives. I go ahead and ask for slicho michila by getting up at a very abnormal time, something I usually don't do, and I'm hoping that God will take the extra step and forgive me as well. I find it to be totally uneducational, very problematic, to tell people, come before God, march into shul, and say, forgive me, without you doing anything special for it. There's a tshuva process that you have to do. But there's also something physical. You have to feel like you're doing something for God, and then God will do for you. And what is that? Getting up at an abnormal time. Adding a tefillah that you usually don't add, called slichos. And if you look at slichos, it's basically a tefillah. There's a kaddish and there's a kaddish shalem that borders it. And you have an ashray in there, and you have a yigimu midot, and you have a tachanun. It's very much like tefillah. It starts with Shevach, and it ends with Bakasha, and it goes on to Hoda'ah. It's a very, very, very much like tefillah. You do an extra something, hopefully God will do for us. That's what I believe the institution of Slichos is all about. One of the tragedies of Slichos for us today, in my opinion, you may know Hebrew better than me, is that I don't understand the word I'm saying most of the time. I mean, the Slichos are extremely difficult. Even with the art school, if you try to read the English as you say slichos, you'll fall behind, it will be very hard, you don't know what to do. Gentlemen, it's very interesting to me that I believe that even if you don't understand slichos, there's a merit to getting up at an abnormal time, or to staying up to an abnormal time, doing something extra for God, so that ultimately God will do something extra for you. That's educationally what I believe a human being should do. After all, don't we educate our kids? There's no free rides in the world. So I give you room and I give you board and whatnot. I also expect you to respect me as a father or a mother. There's no free rides. I don't just... Chesed shel emet is with the dead. But chesed in life is, I do chesed in order to promote chesed in the world. And one day someone will do chesed to me, whatever it might be. I'll give you an example. I, most of the time, stop for tramps. People put out their finger, I stop. If I'm not in a rush, it's okay. I don't owe them anything, but I do an extra step. And then, I don't have a car. And Baruch Hashem, I got it on time because Alex stopped for me this morning. Here I am. Now, Alex knows me. It's very hard to miss me with my suit and tie. So, like, you have to be really vicious just to drive by. But quite frankly, he wasn't the only one that stopped. I firmly believe that the reason that people stop for me for tramps, not everyone but most, is because I also stop for tramps. If I was a very ungenerous person, why would I believe that anyone should be generous to me? So therefore, I believe that we are tired this morning, and we are fatigued, and we're cranky. Also because we're taking an extra step, and we're expecting God to do an extra step for us. I don't believe you can come before God and just march in and say, "Forgive me," without doing anything special. I find that very problematic. I find that very uneducational. And to be more precise, I fear a world that would work that way. Bruce.
When I go to things like sleepless, I'm not sure what it says. It's a low level thing. I'm not sure that God, cares whether I'm sleepless or not. I mean, when people as a group in a community get an altar of sleepless, they're putting themselves in an additional framework for themselves to work on whatever true process they have, and it's for them. It's nothing to do with God, I think. So when you get it and you're starting to do things,
okay,
then God will meet you heaven. You yourself will meet yourself that way.
Now you're hitting,
now
Bruce just hit a sensitive button, and though I'm tired this morning, Bruce, I'm about to go nuts, so be ready. I believe, Bruce, that what you just expressed, that it's not that God cares that we're saying slichos, and it's not that we're really asking for God. It's for us to be better people. So the slichos are a means, but it's really for me.
It wakes us up.
It's really for me. It wakes me up. It's for me. It's not for anything else. It's not for the world. It's not for my kids. It's not to educate myself to do something for others so they will do for me. No.
No, no.
It's for me to be a better person.
No? No, it's just I'm not putting God.
Okay. I'll tell you why I think you hit a sensitive note here. Last night, I went to a public debate. I wasn't on the debate, but I listened to the debate regarding the merits of going to a very famous place that people go to in the last few years for Rosh Hashanah. Where is that?
Uman.
I'm not going to get into the whole issue, but there's one thing that bothers me with going to Uman. One thing that bothers me beyond many other things that bother me regarding going to Uman for Rosh Hashanah. I was in Uman, by the way, in May. I wanted to see what the commotion was about. I was not there for Rosh Hashanah. I don't plan to go for Rosh Hashanah. But I want to tell you...
Commotion? I didn't know I was happy with
it. My dear friend, what's your name again?
Nassim.
Rosh Table Elul. For generations and generations, we had two main Rosh Table for Elul. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, or Ish L'Reyehu U'Matanot La'ev Yonim. Right? Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavera, very beautiful. In the last few years, there's a third. What is it? Anila Uman V'Ishti L'Chavim, V'Ishti L'Aurim. Beautiful, very nice. The world's changed. Don't you see the advertisements in the paper, Nassim? Thousands of Jews voluntarily leave Eretz Yisrael on Erev Rosh Hashanah to go to Uman. Now, I'm not going to get into the whole debate. It's a fascinating debate. You have to get into the issues. But one of the things that bothers me is what you just said now, Bruce, and that is the following. I believe many people are going to Uman for them to feel a spiritual high on 2 days a year, 3 days a year, for how long they go. Is that all life is about? What I feel? I mean, I'm a father, I'm a husband. Comes Rosh Hashanah. The only thing that should matter to me is to feel spiritually high. And therefore, baby's crying, I don't change diapers on Rosh Hashanah because I got to feel spiritually high. It's all about me. It's all about me. My wife has to pack up the kids and go to who knows where as opposed to staying home around the table with all the kids on the Rosh Hashanah night. I have to feel spiritually high. That bothers me. It would bother me less if they say, "I'm going to Uman to pray by the holy Rav Nachman in order to help my family as well." But they're saying, "I'm going so I could feel great." Now, I don't think it's so terrible to feel great, Po Bisham. I don't think if that's the reason you go and you're single, there's anything wrong with it. But I do think there's a problem if you're married and you have other responsibilities. And I think it's uneducational to yourself and to your children to say, "I am going and leaving because I want to feel good. Because that's the only value in life. Me feeling great. Me feeling God is with me. That's it. Nothing else matters." I don't believe the only thing that happens at Slichos is for me to feel better, changed, rectified, whatever. It's also about coming at a very inconvenient time and feeling the inconvenience, because you want God to do something inconvenient in return. It's not just about me. It's not just about what I am going to feel. It's about us, and it's about what will change in my personality to better the world. I believe that we're living in a generation, Bruce, where many of people feel that the most important thing is self-gratification. Self anything. Let's look at the various gadgets we have. We have an iPhone. We have an iPad. I heard this from Avram Fried. We have an iPhone and an iPad. And finally, Baruch Hashem, they made the Wii. So I go to the store, I'm all excited. Finally, Wii. How is it spelled?
W-I.
This is the generation we live in. I believe, gentlemen, it is not just about me feeling good, me getting forgiven, it's also about us. Slichos should educate you to feel that inconvenience. I'm doing for something inconvenient. I'm stopping for a trim, getting to work half a minute late, and hopefully people will do back to me. And this is what we explained on Wednesday, and I repeat it again and again. And this is something that I think you should put on your refrigerators. In the olden days, they put it on refrigerators with a magnet. Today, put it on your iPhone, your iPad, whatever you hold with you. What we said on Wednesday is, my opinion, crucial. Yud Gimel Mido, that we say again and again in Slichos, is not a magic potion. Many Mefarshim, the Shla, Hasidic masters, I heard in the name of the Maharal, even though I didn't find it, all say the same thing. You're asking God to be a Kel Rachum V'Chanun because you're going to be a Kel Rachum V'Chanun. Whatever you do, God will do to you. So therefore, if you yourself get up at an inconvenient time and ask God to do the unthinkable, Bezrat Hashem, God will do the unthinkable. But if you yourself stay the same way you always are, I don't change, I'm great. But I'm asking everyone else to change for me. Why should they? And therefore, I believe that part of the Slichos experience is not just, am I going to change? I'm not so sure, by the way, Bruce, that through saying Slichos every morning, early, you're going to change, per se. That experience may not be it. It should be other things, perhaps.
I'm not sure saying different things. It's all founded on Slichos. I'm not saying it's an I experience. I was just saying, I don't think
that's the reason. I'm not mezalzel, God forbid, in someone that comes to Slichos and feels I'm changing as I'm saying it. But I think that the experience in and of itself should be also something that changes you as a human being. Because the whole Slichos notion is based on that famous Gemara that talks about the Yud Gimel Midot, where God says, Tasu lefanai kaseder hazev ani mochelem. Do like this, and I will forgive them. Not say like this, but do like this. So do become a Kel Rachum V'Chanun. Part of becoming a Kel Rachum V'Chanun is indeed doing things that are inconvenient. God has no reason to forgive us, he does anyway. That's inconvenient. I mean, you reach Shema every day. It's very simple. Mitzvos, you get blessed. Averos, you don't get the rain. You read Parsha Kitavo. Mitzvos, brachos. Averos, lolos. You read it as quiet as you want. It's in there. You have to listen, and that's the way it should be. For God to say, but despite it all, I'll still forgive you, that's inconvenient. That's going beyond the, say it, the call of duty. You're going an extra step. Lifnim mishurat adin. How can we expect that of God if we're not willing to do it ourselves?
I may have mentioned about last night. Last night it was at 11 o'clock here, also it's 12:30 there. So at 11 o'clock, or before during Shabbat, several people told me it's actually usher to go 11 o'clock. It must be the later 12:30. I came 11, it's 12:30, I'm just not fully there. The room was packed at 11, but the biggest rabbis of the shul were there. And I asked all of them, men to teach us.
Okay,
so,
look.
So what's going on? They said it's really a Kabbalistic concept.
Okay.
They prefer going later, but they were shocked to how many people there earlier at 11. And I said, during the week, we're here at 10:30 at night.
Number one is, I'm not very happy to hear that. Number two, I want to just explain very clearly and concisely. If you do say Slichos at 11 o'clock, there is a Rav Moshe Feinstein that allows it. There is. I don't know if any other poskim that outright allow it, but Rav Moshe Feinstein allowed it. But if you read the tshuva of Rav Moshe, it would be a very hard argument to make that that applies to a community like our own. He talks about the fact that there won't be a minyan at 12:30 at night or at 6 o'clock in the morning, whenever it might be. He talks about the fact that without it there won't be slichos. And therefore he says, better to have something than nothing. Ben Ashar, he says, that it is a Kabbalistic custom only, and therefore, in a case of a B'dieved, of a Sha'at Adchak, you can do ahead and do it. I find it very hard to apply that Rav Moshe Feinstein to our community. Now, I find it hard. I didn't say I find it impossible. And if people are saying slichos and that's the only time they can for whatever reason, Baruch Hashem, they're saying slichos, better something than nothing. But that is not l'chatchila in any which way, shape, or form. It's not like you have a choice at 12:30 or 11 o'clock, whatever you want. I don't believe it is. I don't believe there's a choice. It's 12:30 and it's 6 o'clock in the morning, and b'dieved you can't make it, you have a very important meeting, there's circumstances or whatever, there's 11 o'clock for those people. I think that you cannot turn a b'dieved into a l'chatchila and say, no, I go 10:30, I'm alright. Okay, so why are you not doing the minhag like it says? Why is it that you're not doing the minhag at 12:30 at night? I'm just asking, why do these people not do it? The minhag says 12:30, you decide to do the minhag without the 12:30. Why? So I got that. Anything?
So,
okay, here we go. The minhag is to say it at night. The best time is 12:30. That's one option. The other option is to sovech on Rav Moshe's tshuva and do it earlier. There's another option no one seems to say. Just like you just said, it's just a minhag. So let me go take that one step further, Bruce. It's just a minhag. Don't say it at all. That's it. It's a minhag. So daven shachas mincha ma'ariv. Don't do the minhag. So I'm asking, in other words, we're talking about needs, we're talking about circumstances, we're talking about conflicting values here. Why is it that I've never heard anyone say, just don't say it? I think that the best time to say slichos this year, especially until we change the clocks, it's 6 o'clock in the morning, 15 minutes of slichos before Netzachama, it's lechatchila, it's before Netzachama, it's before the sun comes up, that's lechatchila. That is the best time, the best, Shmor et HaBoker.
Not
12:30. No, 12:32. That's part of the same Shmor et. Anyway, that's the best time to say it. You can do it during the day before Shachris. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, in between Mincha Ma'ariv. And then, if those two things can happen, we can talk about a 10 o'clock minyan. But you can't start the debate with 10 o'clock is when I'm going to say it. You have to start with, this is the best time to say it. This is the second best time. And the third best time is from Moshe's tshuva.
It sort of reminds me of the whole opposite of saying Shema. How long do you have to say Shema? Maybe there's the best time up until midnight. Or maybe there's the best time is right at dark. You could have really it's a little long. It's like
there's there's a difference. Because this is a minhag and that's a din d'oraisa. It's a difference.
And therefore,
in a dindo raisa, for you to go for the b'dieved, I find it very problematic. In a minhag, to be doing it at 11 o'clock, again, it's not the best, but it's a minhag. Sachako a minhag. I'm just going to end by saying that I believe that if you do say mislichos, not at the inconvenient times, but at the convenient times, it is my opinion that you are missing what we spoke about this morning. Going an extra step for God, and God will go an extra step for you. You're missing what I believe is part and parcel of a general Jewish concept of having slichos at a time where all you have is reliance on God, and that is at night, deep night, not convenient night, 8 o'clock at night, but deep night. I believe that's being missed if you don't say slichos at those times. You're tired? Yes, you're tired. So, I don't know, people go to America for trips. They don't cancel the trips with, it might be jet lag when I come back, so I won't go. You're tired. I don't know. In halacha, outside of Hilchos Sukkah, where we have a din of mitztayer, uncomfortable in the sukkah, as parted from the sukkah, I don't recall anywhere that we educate our children, educate ourselves, that if it's a little inconvenient, we don't do it.
That's why I understand that we come to doing some of the tachilah with the yavad on a minhag. I understand that on a halacha, but if you do something on a minhag for your family, it's minhag, the idea of doing it this way or that way,
No, first of all, it could be an application for any din d'rabbanan, and also din d'oraisa sometimes, that you have a lechatchila and b'diyevet, even in the name d'oraisa. And therefore, you can have it in a minhag too. I just want to say that minhag could be stronger at times than what you call a din. Many times, minhag Yisrael, Torahi, or minhag okir halacha in certain places. Minhag is a very interesting thing we have to study.
I grew up saying sleepers in Hebron every year when you're growing up. Would that mean that that's now your family?
No.
If you didn't say it there, you somehow...
A minhag, according to most poskim, is, according to most Rishonim, is a function of hachla'ah. Just like by nedarim, if you take a neder, a shvua, you have to say it. So too with the minhag. Just going to Hebron because there was a bus and you went doesn't become a minhag. Pardon?
There's a big group that left at the appropriate time, the later time, went to Hebron, and they felt not only is it the appropriate time, it's the appropriate place. And the people who are here, they're, you know, that's.
They felt it was an appropriate place. I think that's beautiful, but that in and of itself is not something that we find not in Shulchan Aruch, not in Mishnah Berurah, not in any of the minhagim. Beautiful, yes. But I can't say that's a minhag even. That's a nice thing to do. Many nice things we do every day. It's a nice thing to do. I think it's beautiful. If you ask me, what will be the better place to go than Uman? Chefra. What do we try to remember on Rosh Hashanah? Not deep, dark secrets with the shofar. I'm talking about Pashut, Zichronos. How do we end Zichronos? Yom HaZikaron is called Rosh Hashanah. How do we end Zichronos? What's the last line we say? Va'akedat Yitzchak Hayom Berachamim Tiskor. Some Gersaot Va'akedat Yitzchak Levanav Hayom Berachamim Tiskor. Remember Akedas Yitzchak Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Abrit. So what would be the more appropriate place to go to? Uman or Chefa? Haramoriyah. Very nice. To say you're a vicious, malicious Jew if you don't go to Hebron on Rosh Hashanah, I don't think you can say that in any which way, shape, or form. But it's beautiful. It's beautiful. Go to Hebron for Slichos, it's beautiful.
Do we have a concept of being inspired by the numbers of Jews above? So let's say.
Absolutely.
So if there'd be 1,000 Jews in Shul at 11.
Absolutely.
And 10 Jews at 12:30, does it make sense to join the 1,000 at 11 o'clock?
I'm not so sure. I'm not so sure. Because as I said earlier, it's not just about self-inspiration. And that's what I keep on trying to say. It's not just about self. It's not just about self. It's not, I need a minion, so I'm going to use 9 others for me to daven in a minion. It's about we are coming before God together. We're a unified force. Let's go. You know, when it comes to Baalei Tefillah, and I myself am a Baal Tefillah on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, there's 2 kinds, in my opinion, of Baalei Tefillah. There's the chazan, what I call the opera singer, and there is the team leader. The opera singer is one that has a beautiful voice, who basically leads davening by himself. And at the end of davening, the best thing you can do is to clap. Beautiful. Beautiful. I'm not so sure, by the way, because they have a choir. The other is a team leader. We're in this together. I'm the leader, but we're going to do this together. You're all behind me. Let's go. I believe that it's about we. W-E. Not about I only. And that's what I think Slichos should teach us. How do we use the we experience? And how do we take that experience and say, just like we care about the we, God, you should care about us. And this is a thought I'm leaving you with. Here's the challenge. The first 3 brachos of Shmoneh Esrei are supposed to have total shevach, praise to God. What do we insert during Aseres Yimei Tshuva? No, we change HaMelech from HaKel HaKadosh. What else do we insert? Sochreinu L'chayim Melech HaFetz B'chayim. Is that a petition or is that a praise? It's a petition. How come we insert it in the first 3? Explains Tosfos on Brachos. If he asks for the claw, it's different. Think about it. Have a good day, everyone.